I explained to us that as a race, there were people that had spiritual problems. Noah cursed his son, Canaan, you know. But of course, we can't go into it now. We discussed it then, that actually he did not curse Canaan alone. He placed a curse upon Ham and his descendants. Are you getting my point? And those things affect their descendants till today. However, that's only upon those who refuse to deliver themselves from the curse that was placed upon those ancestors, all right? Because in Christ Jesus, they have been removed. Please get my point. Now, historically, now there's a mistake the church makes all the time, all right? I like to say it, like Bishop and I were saying the other day, I like to talk. I don't like to just be nice anymore. We have to say things straight. You see, Christians still say till today that if a nation wants to be blessed, it should have diplomatic relationship with Israel. They don't believe in Christ, but you should have diplomatic relationship with them because they are descendants of Jacob, that they are blessed. And if you want to be blessed, you should pay pilgrimage to the Holy Land all the time. I hear the word holy all the time, all right? About the Holy Land. And Christians relate to Judaism with a lot of awe and a lot of respect. You can't bear me witness. You understand? And somebody like Brother John Hagee will come and gather Christians to support Israel. And he thinks that we are doing God a favor by doing that. I love the Jew, amen? I do with all my heart. But this interesting part, I also love the Muslim too. You say why? Because Jesus died both for both of them. He died as much for Osama bin Laden as he died for Benjamin Netanyahu. I hope you understand that point. Yes, he did. And if Benjamin Netanyahu continues to reject the gospel of Christ, as far as God is concerned, he may as well be Osama bin Laden. Tough one for most Christians to swallow. And I don't have time to go through it. You've seen the scriptures. The Bible says clearly, Paul said, we are the true circumcision. Did I write that? Did I write it? He said, we are what? The true circumcision. He said, beware of the false circumcision. And what was he referring to when he said the circumcision was false? Judaism. It amazes me these days when Christians will tell me that you need the false circumcision to give blessing to a truly circumcised man. Now, listen, the curse of Ham, it played out through the generations. Believe me, I don't have time to go into it. We discussed it before. That's why we suffered the way we did as Africans. And that's why the white man thought he has superior intelligence. And actually, he did. He did. Except that God brought the light of the gospel to everyone. And everyone that has believed in that gospel, God does not see anybody on this earth superior to that fellow. Listen to me. You know why God, you know, sometimes, now I was talking to somebody the other day, and he lamented about his state of health in life. And we often do that. You look at yourself and you wonder that, why did this happen to me? Why did it not happen to me like it happened to the other people? There's something I learned some time ago. People say nobody can change the past. And they now say even God. And once I hear that, I say it's a lie. God changes the past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a shallow way to interpret that. The shallow way is that God of yesterday is still the same God of today and the same God tomorrow. But if indeed in eternity there's no time, it means that he occupies yesterday as much as he occupies today, and his tentacles extend also into tomorrow. So today, God changes yesterday. I don't have time to discuss that in details. But trust me, he does. He does. And that's why it doesn't harass him. That's why they came to him. Well, who sinned that this guy should be born blind? Jesus said, was he born blind? I don't believe it. I don't know. I hope he caught that. They said, he was born blind. I said, let me show you. Oh, his eyes just covered temporarily. He put something. He said, go and wash the covering on your eyes. The guy washed it and came back sin. He said, I told you. It's all the glory of God. Nobody was born blind. Forget that nonsense. He just changed the man's yesterday. You say he was born blind. Show it to me. Now his mind is seeing clearly. What does that mean? He was never blind. Oh, I don't know whether you got my point. And that's why he said, the years that the locust ate, I can restore it. And I've seen God do it again and again for people. You were stagnated for 5 years. God said, relax. You will move in the next 5 years. Race that those who started 5 years ago cannot accomplish in 20 years. Do you get what I'm saying? That's how God is. So what is God doing? He has looked at you and looked at me and looked at all of us through the glasses called Christ Jesus. And he can't see the problem we are complaining about. So he looked at the black man. He said, for all the years you were down, forget it. I'll bless your descendants so much, you want everybody to be down for a while. I don't know whether I get my point. Oh, God. That the God looks at you and says, listen, you are not disadvantaged in any form. In no form whatsoever. The only problem is that you guys don't look into my face to see my glory. What am I seeing? Now, this is the point I'm making. This is what God sees about you. That's what I'm saying. He does not see the disadvantages you think exist. The fact that, you know, in this our country, nothing works. God can see it. When he looks at you, he does not see the fellow that's disadvantaged. All the time you are begging to get a visa. One day a man came to me, I think I told the story before, we're praying for people. He said, I should pray for him for open doors. I said, for what? He wants to go for trials in Europe. I said, what do you do? He said, he's a footballer. I said, have you gone to him, but he didn't take you? Yeah, that was my question. I said, have you gone for trials with Julius Berger? Have you gone for trials with 3SC? The guy was looking at me. He said, I will come and say, oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, doors open. Doors were open. You refused to enter. This stadium, they're not a closer. The doors are open. You have refused to go there. Go to Abba, the door is open. You didn't go there. Go to Ibadan, 3SC, the door is open. You have not gone there. You're asking me to open doors to go for Man U to come and try you. Why? Because you want me to agree with you that Man U is God. When my God said, I am God and there is none else. Once they asked me, the judge, they said, how did he used to feel when he was a local player? Are you getting my point? And then they will bring all them keshi, the foreign players. Then they will come them, judge and go in dormitory in one sports center somewhere. Then keshis, and you know, those ones go to the five-star hotels. From there, they come and take vehicle to drive them to where they will go and just jog around in a tough soccer small. Finit just said something. I heard it indirectly. He said, I never felt bad. That life is in seasons. It was their season. And the man was saying this, his own season had come. That time he was playing for Ajax. Are you getting my point? Listen, Kanu Nwankwo, he played in Nigeria, did he not? Okocha, he played in Nigeria, did he not? All these men played here. And I see one little boy telling me that I should pray for him for open doors, for trials in Europe. The prayer I should have prayed for is that may you go the path of Okocha. Is that not a good prayer? No. God said, I am God and there is none else. I'm describing how God sees you. He does not see you being a Nigerian who does not yet have a degree and does not have a visa. He doesn't see any disadvantage. He said, the problem is that when you focus on those imaginary disadvantages, they magnify in quality and strength. I saw a man once. I said, what is he doing? They said, he's waiting for a visa to go to UK. This was in 1994. By the time I stopped hearing of him about 1999, he still hadn't gotten the visa. And I knew men who started business in 95 who were millionaires in 99. All of them in the same Nigeria. But every day he's there waiting because he's disadvantaged. He thinks. But God looks at him. That was the same time I heard my own gospel. He said, behold, wherever you go, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I don't need you to be in a particular place. Anywhere you are, I can flow wealth in that direction. I can make strangers build your walls. They will call from the four corners of this earth. I call a bird of prey from the east and a man of my purpose from a distant country. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but God is judge. He lifts up one and he brings down another. The point is that whether they have certificates or not, are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. That's what I'm preaching today. Because that's the first foundation. Until that spiritual state in your heart is corrected, all the motions outside, they mean nothing. There are those who wake up early, go to bed late. They are struggling against a spirit inside them that says to them every day, you can never make it. It's their thoughts and it affects their ways. They start making wrong choices. They start doing everything wrong. There are those who are, oh God, I pray you will understand this. There are those who every day, they are laboring hard spiritually because they want to succeed. Meanwhile, in their heart, they have accepted that they can't succeed. Let me prove to you. If you are giving to get, you have accepted that you have a deficiency. You hear what I said? If you are still amongst the Christians who are sowing seed for prosperity, you have admitted you are poor. I don't know whether you hear what I said. If you are still sowing seed towards prosperity, you have accepted that currently you are poor. That's why there are things I don't do. You are going to give a special offering for your future, for the doors in your life to open. I said, they are not closed. It's not just yet their season. I'm not giving you a dime to open any door. Any door that my faith in God, my knowledge of the word of God cannot open, should remain closed for now. Because if I enter through it in this state of spiritual deficiency, is a problem I'm going to get. Any door that the blood of Jesus can open should please be permanently shut. It's risky. I know what I'm telling you. There are Christians who are laboring. They have given, they are bleeding. Why? They've given their jacket, given their shirt. They don't give their tie, the singlet. Now they are peeling their skin in giving. Yet nothing they flow. Nothing they flow. Because they are giving from the perspective that we need to do this to break into the heart of God. They have accepted that right now we are outside. Let me tell you, God does not see you like that. You know what God sees? A man, a woman who is already blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. When I give as a Christian, I give because I'm a blessed man. If I have 20 naira, I give 10 naira. It is because I'm grateful to God that I have 20 naira. Are you getting my point? And I realize that my lack of 10 naira does not affect my tomorrow. Why we can't give is because we are attached to money. That's why. We think that's the source of prosperity. If you see yourself the way God sees you, you will not be a stingy man. If you see yourself the way God sees you, you won't see a rich man and greet him specially. I don't know whether I get my point. Christians think it's just about parting with money. No, it's not just about parting with money. Solomon didn't have to part with money. But God offered him money and he chose wisdom. It was parting with money. Are you getting my point? Because he realized that wisdom is more important than the cash. I don't know whether you connect what I'm saying. Listen, how does God see you? As you did so, you don't prosper. You hear what I said? Touch your chest. I have already prospered. You're not trying to open the door of prosperity. You walk in righteousness, one day you walk through that door, it's already open. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? There are a lot of Christians, they work hard. Why? They want to please God. Please, if you have not read my book, How to Work for God, you are not my friend. No, believe me. We have 13 titles out in books. Some of them are quite small, tiny pamphlets, about three or four of them. About three are just small size Christian books. The rest are a bit sizable. All right? Of all the books, the most important one, as far as I understand, and I am the author of all of them by the Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? Is How to Work for God. If you have not read it, I'm sorry for you. Why am I saying so? A lot of people are sweating day and night. You know why? They are working very hard in church, everywhere, doing charitable works. Why? They want to be pleasing to, they want God to be happy with them. They are not seeing themselves as God is seeing them. You know what makes God happy with you? You have believed in Christ Jesus. Every other thing, listen, every other thing is done as a matter of relationship. Now, I say it all the time, you see it on TV. Every Hollywood celebrity must add charitable work to everything. You know one of the problems they have? I'm not trying to talk down anybody, but part of their major issue, we say, is lack of joy and gladness. They are trying to keep occupied because of the troubles in their souls. But as a believer, we don't do like that. We are blessed. He said to Abraham, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. And Paul said here, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know what that means? You're already a blessing. You are so blessed, you must be blessing somebody. That's why we do what we do. Not to please God. You know what I'm saying? Trying to make God happy. What pleases God about your life and my life is your faith. In my faith. Once you have believed in Christ Jesus, you are accepted in the beloved. Are you getting my point? You are accepted. You are not doing it. There are people who are afraid. Ah! Last month, did I pay the tithe complete? Did I pay it complete? God, please. Deborah is coming. God, help. Help. Deborah is coming. These windows of heaven. You must open them. You must open. Every month, that is, I'm sorry to say, they have become subjects of manipulation because they don't understand God's attitude towards them. God sees you as his child. And he loves you as you did there, so you are loved. If you give money because you want him to love you, it's an insult. Listen to me. If you pray because you want him to love you, it's an insult. Let me say it one more time. If you do any good work because you want him to be happy with you, you have just insulted him. If I discover one day I reach home, better food just shelle, you understand, on the table. You know, there are some kinds of soups that, like my friend Chuk to say, you go inside to fish. Maybe I see that kind of soup. Real African soup with all kinds of living creatures, both from the sea and from the land, that God created on the third, fourth day, on the fourth and fifth days. And you see them everywhere. And as I they chop, my wife comes and says, ah, Sarah, how was it today? They rub your back. At the end of the day, she comes sit down. As I they chop, the food never finished. Or maybe before she comes and says, before she comes out, my son comes and says, Daddy, you know that mommy is planning something. And I say, what? She has not told you. I say, okay, sorry. And he walks away. Then my wife now comes and says, hey, nope. There's something that we're saying that whether you will agree for me and the children to do. Once I see that's why the food started flowing, I will lose appetite. Although my wife knows long ago, said, this is one man that said, food is the quickest way to a man's heart. Have you? The way, my wife discovered long ago, said, this guy, if it's that way, his heart is permanently closed. Food, not if you open anything. Like I said, the mouth is the quickest way to a man's heart. It's for hungry people. But boss, they don't chop belly full. The Lord had better pour love inside his heart for you or forget you can't use food to buy it. I'm bringing something anyway, none of this gist. As a man, will you like that? That your wife went through all that trouble to make you glad because he's looking for something. God is like that also. He is never happy with all those energies you exert in supposedly working for him because you want to win his favor. It's an insult. It is an insult. You know how he sees you? As you did so, I love you. Before you were born, I loved you. When you were a sinner, I sent my son to die for you. Paul said, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, his enemies. He died for the ungodly while we were yet sinners. And he said in the book of Romans that if he freely gave us his most expensive gift, how much more will he freely give us all other things? I've told you, let me say it one more time. It's totally an insult of the on the person of Christ Jesus for you to go praying and quoting the good works that you did. It's an insult. You know how God sees you? You're a righteous person. He doesn't see a sinner. I'll talk about it further next time. He sees somebody who has the ability to walk above sin. I don't know whether I get my point. When he sees you, he sees a good man, a good woman. He's not seeing a... Say, God, we don't come. You know, you're hiding in one corner. You know, as soon as you approach, the first thing you do is you want to confess all the sins that you may have committed, that even the one you are not aware of, before you want to pray. Listen, if you are still behaving like that, I'll say straight, you are walking in ignorance. Every prayer session is started with confession of sin. Please, that's absolute ignorance. You don't go to God and be saying, please, I want to pray. Any sin which I have committed that may hinder this, God will ask you, say, okay, which one are you talking about? I don't have any in mind. Then forget that nonsense talk. He said, Pastor, what if I do something wrong? Why do you have to wait till you need something to go and confess it? You smoke? If you do something wrong, right there and then, as soon as the Holy Spirit points it out to you that that is an error, that is the appropriate time for confession of sin. You don't walk around in sin consciousness. Lester Sommer told the story. I think I told us here before. So one day, he and one man, they were on a boat. They were going for mission work. And every morning, the man, when they are praying, the man will start with, you know, he will start with any sin we have committed, God, he will be talking and talking and talking and talking. So we are sinners. We can't help but sin. So the next day, Lester Sommer's turn was to pray. He thanked God for righteousness. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all iniquity. Any sin we have, if you acknowledge, you are forgiving us. And the man talked with spiritual boldness. The righteous are bold as a lion. And we are made righteous in Christ Jesus. The next morning, the man turned us to pray. The man went with that, you know, we are sinners. We can't help but sin. Finally, there's someone according to one side. He said, excuse me, sir. Please. I need to understand this sin matter. On this boat, there are only two women. One is your wife, one is my wife. So how are you managing to commit this? And the man said that, no, there's nothing like that. That's just as the way I know how to pray. What? I have children. I can't imagine them walking into the room. I had a good morning. If there's any way I offended in the last few days. But do they confess sins? Yes, they do. Oftentimes, when things have gone wrong, they will come. I had a good morning. I'm sorry, yesterday I broke that thing. Do you get my point? It's appropriate. I'm not saying that Christians are careless and frivolous people. They just take everything lightly. No. But when there's nothing like that, there's nothing like that. My son will come in and say, I want. In fact, my wife would laugh. There are times they just come and say, I want. What do you want? I want something. That's confidence, boldness. You are getting what I'm not explaining? That's how Christians reason. We approach God with boldness. I'll talk about it further next time. In Christ Jesus, we have the righteousness of God. He said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. When God sees you, doesn't he see you as a sinning child? He sees you as a righteous person in Christ Jesus. That's his attitude towards you. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's how he approaches, that's how he reacts to your presence. That's why I say you must read that book, How to Work for God. Many people are laboring day and night. You get my point? They are laboring day and night because they want God to be happy with them. And I'm saying to you one more time, it's an absolute insult on him. It is. If God gives you a duty, do it. Did I hear an amen? If you know something is right, do it. Like I see all the time, Christians, we do what is right because of what? Because they are right. We don't do what is right because of what we are going to get. We are not doing them because God will be happy. No. Walking habitually in faith is what makes God happy with us. We do things we are supposed to do simply because they are right. I hope you've gotten my point today.